So coming up, Let's Talk Legal.
It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and Let's Talk Legal.
And good morning to you, Cecil. Thanks for
Good morning, Lockwood. How are you?
Doing well.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you, Lockwood.
You're very kind, because you know I'm always going
to
throw those.
I just hope we don't have to discuss politics.
No. If we do, I'll start thinking about it being in the afternoon.
Yeah, I know. Not that I mind politics, but you know, you do get very engaged in that.
Anything I find interesting, and of course, your particular area, I always find fascinating as well. You've been talking, over the past couple of days, or weeks, as a matter of fact, on the issue of estates and the whole changes that are taking place, and we've talked about that in the past as well. So
we have been. Lockwood, this morning, let's see, where are we? Gosh, mid-November. It's hard to believe. This is the time of the year when our office is busy updating all of our corporate entities, and I kind of want to go through that this morning. Lockwood, I think, as you know, and some of our listeners hopefully know, you know, many folks, even mom and pop organizations with just husband, wife, or husband and father, son, or whatever, are in the auspices of a corporate entity. Mm-hmm. They are either a S corp, a C corp, or maybe even a limited liability company. These are entities that are created by the North Carolina Secretary of State, and they absolutely require that there be annual reports that are filed with the Secretary of State, and there are annual fees associated with that. They aren't high, you know, $100 or so is an average on those that we have to send to Raleigh, if you will, to stay in good standing with the North Carolina Secretary of State. Now, folks incorporate, and when I say incorporate, I do mean also a limited liability company, Lockwood. We all do that, or lawyers will recommend that clients create these entities, usually to avoid the possibility of personal liability as folks conduct their business. Also, for tax purposes with the Internal Revenue Service, the North Carolina Department of Revenue. So you have created this entity for a purpose, to limit liability, to potentially, have clearer tax delineation between your business and your personal, affairs. And so, of course, the other side of that coin is that what happens if for some reason, you are audited, or what happens if for some reason your business is then sued? And one of the first things that is then going to be looked at is whether or not this corporate entity really has stood up, walked and talked like a corporate entity.
So you've got to act like one, not just, you know, one. You've got to go through.
You can't just bring to our office your file folder with your 1-2 page article of incorporation and say, you know, I'm a corporate entity. There needs to be clearly the establishment of a corporate bank account. There needs to be a federal ID number. There needs to be corporate accounting. There needs to be corporate returns that are filed. There needs to be annual documentation. And we do this documentation on all the corporations at Harvell & Collins that we're responsible for. And it begins, if you will, Lockwood, with a kind of a generic but important meeting of the shareholders of the corporation. Now, again, you know, I realize we're not talking about, you know, Coca-Cola here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, you know, good, solid businesses in eastern North Carolina. But usually they're 1, 2, 3, 4 shareholders. These shareholders meet. They elect the board of directors. The board of directors then meet thereafter and elect the officers of the corporation, the president, the secretary, and they affirm all of the, or ratify, if you will, all of the actions of the corporation, review the financial affairs of the corporation. If there's been anything unusual to occur, like the entering of a new lease agreement or a new financing arrangement with a banking institution, then those things are sometimes mentioned. But again, this documentation then is signed by the shareholders, signed by the board of directors and placed in the corporate minute book. And you listeners, if you do not have a corporate minute book, that right there is telling us that, you know, we really are not maintaining this kind of corporate documentation that we need. While we are doing these annual minutes for our corporate entities, we also, of course, are on the North Carolina Secretary of State website to check the current status of the corporation, to make sure it's in good standing, to check the addresses, because addresses change, and affirm that the annual report has been filed. Just yesterday, I met with a client that's been a client, gosh, I bet 20 years or more, wonderful lady who really does dot her I's and cross her T's. And she was just astonished that somehow, last year, her annual report did not get filed. I think she had a change in accountant. And as a result of that, she was administratively dissolved. We very promptly got her reactivated, which is not complicated to do, but important to accomplish. And she's back this morning, you know, running full steam ahead.
In cases where you've got situations like a failure to fulfill some of these requirements,
right,
for your maintenance of your corporate identity, is there remedial action? Is there remedial action that can be taken for businesses that haven't been keeping up with some of these record documentations?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Just like this was an example of this one yesterday of a lady who needed to refile not only the annual report for this year, but for last year, mm-hmm, as well, so as to get her corporation back in form. Another angle to your question, Lockwood, is that let's suppose that some of our listeners are hearing and they're thinking, oh gosh, you know, Lockwood and Cecil, yes, I'm incorporated. I've got that file folder in the file drawer at my office, but I don't think I ever got a corporate book. I really haven't been doing this. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, I incorporated 10 years ago.
Right.
I've been doing my bank account for 10 years, but I haven't been maintaining these minutes. This is not a problem. It's not what we want to see. It's not, you know, it's not 100 on the exam, but it is certainly, you know, time to, it's better now than never. Go ahead and bring in your file folder,
right,
with your copy of your charter and begin the process now of maintaining your corporate minutes. Okay. We will go back and maybe do a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then maintain them.
Okay.
And of course, Lockwood, as you well know, and you and I, goodness gracious, we've known each other now for nearly 30 years. Time flies by, doesn't it, Lockwood? And the bottom line is within 5 or 10 years, now this corporation has a good, solid, history of maintaining these corporate minutes because they finally started. So just because you have not maintained your corporate documentation does not mean that we need to create a new corporate entity.
Okay.
Or we need to start all again, nor is it terribly expensive to do this. It's just a matter of once and for all getting it fine-tuned,
okay,
and getting it into a mechanism or procedure where this is done on an annual basis.
All right. We're going to continue this conversation in just a moment with Cecil Harvell of Harvell & Collins. And by the way, if you'd like to call in, you can do so. Mandy, the numbers?
800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Or you can contact our guest afterwards. I'll give you the details on that in just a moment with Harvell & Collins. Cecil Harvell with us this morning on Let's Talk Legal. We're chatting with Cecil Harvell of Harvell & Collins this morning. We're talking about the topic of corporations. And as he initiated the program, it's a busy time of year for him.
It is. And you know, Lockwood, this is not so different than other things that we discuss on the program, like your last will and testament or your durable power of attorney. You know, gather up what you have in your business office and take it to your lawyer and say, you know, I understand that I probably need to be keeping minutes. Are there any other, is there any other documentation that I need to maintain here so that if I do get sued, if for some reason I do get audited, then I am in the most positive position, that I can be in. And so there's never the right time. It's just a matter of getting these things, you know, achieved as soon as possible.
Organized. Yeah.
And then of course maintain that on an annual basis. Once the hard part is getting started, once you're there, you're there. Now a little bit more detail on this, Lockwood, and a little bit of intrigue. The concept here that is at play is known as piercing the corporate veil. And there's a strong body of law in the state of North Carolina that says that, you know, if the corporation is not maintaining these minutes, filing its corporate returns, maintaining its annual report with the Secretary of State, maintaining accounting methods relative to a corporate accounting, then really this corporation is not a viable entity. And we are not going to allow the shareholder, the mom, the pop, the son, the daughter, to hide behind the corporate veil. We're going to pierce the corporate veil and hold the shareholders individually responsible for the liability. This, of course, is the position that you absolutely do not want to be in. And the defense to this is going to be right out of the gate whether or not you have this documentation.
Okay.
Because if you are sued, and the lawsuit goes so far as to name you personally, and you then are able to show to your lawyer, well, gosh, you know, I've maintained my minutes. I've done my annual reports. Here are my corporate tax returns. Then your lawyer is going to be able to go in early on in that case and file for a motion to have you as an individual released from the lawsuit or dismissed as to the individual counts in the lawsuit. And this is a matter of law. This is a judge decision, not a jury decision, Lockwood.
Okay.
And the judges will, of course, you know, see this documentation, hear the testimony of the lawyer who kept the minutes, the accountant who did the tax return, and more than likely, those counts on the personal side would be dismissed. On the other hand, if you have no documentation and you just have that file folder with that 2 or 3 page copy articles of incorporation, then, you know, although all these years you've been thinking you're incorporated, you've been thinking that I am protected from individual exposure, you may likely be not, because the termination may be that you really did not abide by the required corporate formalities.
Now, looking at this, and we've seen situations where folks have decided that they're going to set up a corporation, LLCs particularly, things of that nature. In the process of preparing that, are there instructions for that? Is this something that
That's a good point. Now, I can't hasten to say enough about the North Carolina Secretary of State website, Lockwood. It's one of the good things that's out there in our government. It really does do it's a really well crafted website, and it works. And on this website, and all of our listeners who incorporate it should Google North Carolina Secretary of State and go to that website and check your corporate entity. Check and see, is the address up to date? Is it in good standing? Has the annual report been filed? All of this information is on the website. Also, of course, on the website are the necessary forms and the necessary documents, if you will, to do anything relative to a corporation, more or less. I mean, to create it, to dissolve it, to file this annual report, et cetera. And there are many clients who do create their own corporation. And that's fine, Lockwood. But what does that mean? If that just means getting your 3-page copy of your charter, then that is not sufficient. Mm-hmm. And that's where the lawyer comes in.
Right.
Because the lawyer will go beyond just the charter and issue the stock, assign the membership interest in the LLC, create the bylaws, mm-hmm. or create the operating agreement, right. in the LLC. In other words, the details. And of course, the devil is always in the details.
Yeah.
And so these details are necessary, and these kinds of documents that I just referred to, mm-hmm. bylaws, operating agreements, stock certificates, membership interest certificates, things of this nature are not on the website.
Uh-huh.
It's just primarily the creation documents that are there in a clear manner.
And the other aspect of this, and we'll get to this in a moment because we're going to go to a break, but the issue of minutes, I want to talk to you about how detailed you need to go into those minutes.
Sure.
Because there are some issues, and we've talked about this in the past, you have for sure. But get back to the details in those minutes, how they can apply to everything from dissolution to maybe even transference. So I want to get
correct.
To that. All right, we're going to take a quick break here with Cecil Harvell of Harvell & Collins. And just to remind you, if you want to get more information directly from the folks at Harvell & Collins, you can go online at Harvell and, spell out the word and, please, harvellandcollins.com, or you can give them a call locally, 252 area code 726-9050. That's 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City. You're listening to Let's Talk Legal. Talking with Cecil Harvell this morning on Let's Talk Legal about the whole concept of acting, walking. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it is a duck. It's the,
that's right.
The whole situation with a corporation. The topic of course, every variety of corporations, S-Corp, C-Corps, LLCs, LLPs, things mm-hmm. of this nature. The question comes up related to the minutes. How detailed do you need to go in the minutes? And are there some instances where you want to put something in the minutes for, if you will, verification of an original plan, things of this nature?
Well, again, there are certain years where the corporation is really on autopilot. And
right.
when, again, I keep using the word corporation,
mm-hmm.
but this is true with all of those entities that you just mentioned. And really things are just, you know, there's been no real significant change. Certainly if there is a change in ownership, okay, a new member,
mm-hmm.
a resignation of an old member, a new shareholder, a resignation of an old shareholder, a shift in percentages of shareholders, a buy, a sell, a purchase of a new real estate, an entering into any kind of new kind of lease arrangement with regard to business real estate, anything of a significant nature, it's time to talk to your lawyer about it,
mm-hmm.
and include those kinds of details in your minutes. It's not so different. Again, I guess my mind just always goes to this than updating your last will and testament, Lockwood. I mean, clearly, if we have a new child, if we lose a child, God forbid, more grandchildren, we change, you know, our financial situation. These are the kinds of life events, the twists and turns of life that dictate that, yes, maybe I better take out that document from 10 years ago and have it looked at and updated. And so this is the same with your corporation. If there's any kind of event that has occurred, any kind of you know, new financing, any kind of additional restructuring of the entity in any way, then those would be the kinds of details
mm-hmm.
that would be in the corporate minutes. Otherwise, the corporate minutes just affirm that there has been a meeting. Okay. That there hasn't been, if you will, any kind of significant change, and that all actions of the corporation and its officers have been ratified, and they elect new officers. The shareholders affirm that this is the board of directors, and off we go again, if you will, for another year.
Okay. Now, in the process of reviewing these documents, do you sit down with your clients and say, let's look back at previous years? How deep in details can you go?
It varies, Lockwood, greatly from file to file. I mean,
okay.
There are many of them that just are that for that particular year, they're on autopilot. I mean, there's just not been any change really materially, in the ownership, in the percentages, et cetera. And then another, you know, you'll have another year where, you know, you have, you know, several that have had a change.
One quick question here.
Yeah.
Related to this, we look at this, and you mentioned that at the outset, we're not talking Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola. We're not talking about a major corporation. A lot of these are, and I use the term LLCs, LLPs, limited liability partnerships, things of this nature. Many of them, literally, mom and pop operations.
Yes.
They still have to go through the same steps. They're just not as in depth and overwhelming.
That is correct. And of course, it's the mom and pop ones that, where the details might really, really count. Because again, if you pierce that corporate veil and go against, you know, the husband or the wife or the father or the son, whatever the case might be, I mean, that can really hurt.
Right.
Our shareholders are just good, hardworking business people. And we certainly do not want there to be, the ability to pierce the corporate veil and go against them individually.
Now, the assumption here on my part is the big corporations are and larger companies are doing this. What you're saying, though, also is to all those smaller businesses that are successful, don't disregard this.
Correct.
This is serious.
And one thing, I know we're about out of time, but, you know, Lockwood, just to emphasize again and to help our listeners, which is the goal of this program that we do every Tuesday morning, all of you who are listening who are a part of a legal entity, absolutely today go to the North Carolina Secretary of State website. Make it a project. Make it a fun thing. And go and search your corporate entity and see what the addresses are. Are you in good standing? Is there anything relative to your corporation that needs to be updated? That is worth its weight in gold. That doesn't cost you anything at all to do that, and is a very, very good thing to do. And if you don't have time to do it and you're a little bit larger corporation, get your secretary to do it or your assistant, whoever you might have. I want these five corporate entities that I'm a part of to be checked. I want to know, are they in good standing? Just like my client yesterday who was in, she just had no idea whatsoever that she had been administratively dissolved until we fortunately discovered it in our annual documentation and got her back in to get her reinstated. And she just did not know that that had occurred.
Do you get notified if there's a dissolution?
You do, but usually the dissolution is sent to the many times it is an issue of the incorrect address,
right.
An updated address.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're running a corporation, don't hesitate to make a call to 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050, or contact the folks at Harbell and Collins. By the way, that website, harbellandcollins.com. Cecil, good morning to you. Thanks for being with us. Let's Talk Legal here on the Talk Station.